Welcome to Forged in the Fires podcast with Fireman Rob. Being a fireman, father, veteran, husband, world record holder, and Ironman, he brings stories of experience to impact your life while challenging you to live it. What do you want from your life? Why do you want it? Are you willing to go through the challenges to get there? If you have the courage to take that first step, let this podcast be the catalyst to start your fire
while you bring the resilience to make it continue to burn.
Our lives are made up of moments called right nows. So let's get started. Forged in the Fires podcast with your host, Fireman Rob, begins now.
We got the same.
Welcome back to Forged in the Fires podcast. I'm your host, Fireman Rob. We've got a great show for you today. It's actually from the archives of In the Zone with Fireman Rob that you can see on EnduranceZoneTV.com. The guests that I have on today are unbelievable. Their name is the Pease Brothers, Kyle and Brent, and they're a group of brothers that do some quite amazing things. I hope you enjoy the interview. Here it comes. Hey, welcome back to In the Zone with Fireman Rob, brought to you by Endurance Zone. This week is the best of. I have a group of brothers, brothers, that you don't want to miss out on. Hey, they're the only ones to ever finish Ironman Kona like Dick and Rick Hoyt. It's the Pease Brothers, coming up to you next. You scrolling around on Facebook and Instagram, but you haven't followed Endurance Zone yet. You don't want to miss out on the shows, the discounts, all sorts of things. Go to Facebook and Instagram right now and follow Endurance Zone. All right, I can't wait anymore. This episode is going to feature the Pease Brothers. It was so great to be able to interview these individuals, especially since on July 26th, we're going to have a special event on EnduranceZone.com that is going to feature the real teams of triathlon. That's going to be the Agars, Team Tridat, and the Pease Brothers. So without further ado, let's get to the interview that we had with the Pease Brothers. I can't tell you how excited I am to have these two gentlemen. I have to say, first and foremost, that they're the second group to ever finish Ironman Kona the way they did. So, Brent and Kyle Pease, how are you doing?
Good. How are you, Ralph?
Oh, I'm doing good. You look good. Like we were talking about before, you got your makeup on. We're good to go.
Let's fire away.
Brent, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. I know that these are challenging times, and we definitely need inspiration from individuals like yourselves. You know, what have you been up to, Brent, in the last few days? You said you're busy with coaching. People are getting excited the possibility of having races.
It's interesting. I feel like I'm business as usual right now outside of not shaving or cutting my hair. So I got to keep a hat on this whole time so you don't see the mop. But it's good, man. It's good. I think people want to maintain some level of, normalcy, and you want to have things to look forward to. And so a lot of on the coaching side and even my personal training side, it's, let's start getting ourselves into a position that, when things open back up, we're ready to rock. So I almost feel like I'm starting to be a little bit envious of people that maybe might have a few extra moments in their day.
Yeah. Now, Kyle, you were talking about, you've got right next to your desk, you've got what's the reminder you have right next to your desk?
Yeah, so I got this big old photograph of me and Brent on the Green K, on the run, with the ocean in the background. It's about to go to dark. So it gets a beautiful sky, and it's just a great reminder of what I love and who I love, and with a beautiful sky in the background. So it's
really cool. I love it. It's a great reminder. It's one of those things where you always have to have that reminder of what what is possible and what is, you know, just the best things in life. You know, I want to go to your Kona experience because that's, you know, Dick and Rick Hoyt were the only other two to ever finish Ironman Kona, and they had to do it a few times. you guys went to Kona and crushed it. What was, actually, I want to get to the story first about the bag, because this is a funny story. You know, triathletes will relate to this, the Kona bag.
For sure.
The Swag bag, and they're telling me the story. Tell everybody the story about what happened when you went to register, because those bags are pretty cool.
Well, yeah. That's like, we're there for the swag, but, you know, so what we were saying before is that, you know, Ironman used to always have Kyle and I both as registered athletes, and we were happy to support race directors that were supporting us, even if we had to pay 2 race fees or however they would set it up. But when we got to Hawaii and we went to registration, we went to check-in, they didn't have my name. And I started panicking that I hadn't signed up for the race and that we were, you know, in deep, you know what, but then we're just going through it. I'm helping Kyle get his wristbands. We're taking pictures of everything we do. And we get to the swag bags and they hand us one. I was like, oh, no, I need a bag too. And like, no, you're a guide. You don't get one. Mm-hmm. And I about had a meltdown. And as Kyle said, it became my mission that week to get a bag. I had to get a bag.
Smile. It's like a smile. Like, yeah, I got.
Well, and Kyle's like, you want a bag. I want to finish the race. Who cares about the bag? So I did get a bag, though. I did
get a bag. Don't worry. We did get the bag.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. You know, hey, you just knew where your brother's priorities were. That he wanted the swag. You wanted the race ending. Absolutely. Take me to the start line. Kona's start line is a pretty iconic start line. And, you know, you're pulling Kyle behind Brent. What was your guys' feeling that morning when you're looking out on that beautiful ocean?
It was surreal. It was something that we have been wanting to do for 7 years. And it was surreal. We only had 17 weeks to get ourselves ready for when they told us it was all in North Carolina. To Kona, and my first Ironman was actually on the airplane. Coming to the airplane did not get along well at all. So to go 12 hours on the airplane is a lot. So that was the first Ironman when we got there.
They give you wings at least to commemorate it?
They did when I was a little boy, but I don't know if anyway. But when we got there, it was just so surreal. It was a different vibe than any other feeling that I had ever imagined it to be there with my brother and it was just amazing. But that week, because we got there a whole week before, just flew by. And then when we got to race day, it was, oh my gosh, I need to check my emotions because I'm so hyped right now. I'm so ready to bust out the cannon. And literally, you do get busted out of a cannon. But then I realized that we had 17 hours to do this. Right, so we had to hold down the energy a little bit. So
it was
one of the best days of my life.
That's so cool. And Brent, how does that make you feel? Like you're sitting on that start line with your brother. You guys have been through a lot. You've challenged a lot of different courses, and then that dream comes true, and then you're sitting on that start line, knowing that there's a daunting task ahead of you. What was the emotions at that point?
Well, I think Kyle and I were like a lot of young, you know, young kids. We both wanted to, you know, pitch in game 7 or hit the buzzer beater. And, but neither of us had ever experienced athletics in that intensive environment. And with stakes like that, I mean, you said it, I mean, you know, the Hoyts were the only ones to have completed. Kona is hard because of the conditions, the heat, the wind, the bike hills. I mean, there's harder courses by some, but so you get there and then you have the intensity of the athletes and the experience. And I mean, I was shaken before the race. I mean, it was so intense. I'm going to send it to Kyle when we get off here. I found a picture of us from before the race. And if, you know, it's one of those pictures, tell a thousand words, and both of us are looking at each other, but you can tell we weren't talking. And we both have this like stare in our face, and it's such intense. We have the intensity. Yeah. So it was, looking back now, I love that because I may never ever experience standing on the mound at Game 7 of the World Series, but I came pretty damn close with my brother, and he carried me all the way there. So it like Kyle said, it was surreal. It was incredible, and you get away from it and you miss that intensity. You kind of crave to have it back a little bit.
And it was. Separates Kona and what separates Ironman is all the athletes and the spectators go together, right? So they're right. Not, I mean, there is a separate entrance for body marking and all that, but there is the, you know, a special way for the athletes and the spectators. We all go together through the same, you know, same
challenges and turmoil.
it's amazing to feel the energy even before you start the race.
I love it.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I don't think a lot of people understand. I've had the honor of being able to help with my team Triumph, but I don't think people understand like what both of you go through in that day. You know, doing an Ironman is hard enough as an individual, but now you're helping Kyle to be able to get through it. And Kyle, that's a long day on your body, isn't it, Kyle?
Oh yes. I feel like I got ran over by a 18-wheeler times.
and it's you know, and Brent, you have to keep in tune with Kyle, so it's not just managing your emotions and your physical being, but it's also helping Kyle to be able to manage it as well. How do you formulate that in, you know, 16 hours? It's 16 hours. How do you formulate that into a plan?
You know, I think one of the best things that did happen to us is that it took us a while to get to Hawaii. And so we had all these opportunities to practice. In fact, one of our favorite stories is when we did Wisconsin with you. That year we got Kyle's wheelchair got separated at the end of the race. And so we're trying to figure out how to get him to the car. And we were also exhausted. We just laid the seats down in this SUV we had, and we put Kyle in on the ground. And before we had closed the hatch, his eyes were closed and he was just exhausted. So, but you know, the point is we kept just refining that process race after race, and we would talk about it. And, you know, the story that Kyle and I have told from Kona was from a training day when we were on the bike together for almost 8 hours. And, you know, we would get to an aid station on this bike ride, and I'd make Kyle eat. I was like, you got to learn. It was August. It was hot as all get out. I was like, Kyle, you got to eat. In Kona, I can't take care of you. You got to tell me when you're eating. I can't. So in a lot of races before, it would almost be like, I'm eating, Kyle, it's your turn. You know, and so, it, you know, he became, that's the beauty for us. And like you've experienced with my team Triumph, you start to see that these kids, these adults are becoming athletes themselves. And Kyle knew what his body needed. He knows the things that he has to do, because if he doesn't, then we're going to spend some time digging ourselves out of holes. And in Hawaii, there's no time. There's no room for error for that kind of stuff.
No. Now, what did it feel like? And I actually don't remember the last mile of my Ironman in Kona. I was in a dark place. Let's put it that way.
Well, you add a little extra weight there, I believe. Yeah,
the humidity didn't help.
Yeah.
But what did it feel like that last mile going down, knowing that you've accomplished something only two, you know, one other group has accomplished during that time? What was that feeling running down Alehi Drive?
Well, I guess it will me a bit, might disagree a little bit as well, but, you know, it's really, I get emotional just when anybody asks me about the finish is huge, because that's the Super Bowl of all Ironmans. That's the Augusta National. And I've never been able to walk on my own But when we hit that red carpet, Daytona, it was a different feeling. Like, I could feel the carpet through the wheel, through the footrest. And it was the best feeling. And we went pretty fast through the suit. But the crowd was so loud.
Yeah.
It was the best.
Are you blaming your brother for going too fast? Is that what you're saying?
I thought we were slowing down. I thought we were slowing down. It did, you know, but you, I mean, you would get, I mean, I was like you, Rob. I mean, I was out of it. And, you know, I was in a pretty dark place from mile one till almost 18. And it was struggle city. And Kyle, it's as hard as he's probably ever had to work in the marathon. I mean, like Wisconsin, all these other races, it was almost like a celebration. It was like, okay, we made it to the marathon. Yeah. We're going to finish. And in Hawaii, we weren't sure. I mean, we both hit really dark spots. And so when I got to the finish, you know, I kind of always look for my wife. And she was, because of the experience, she was on the other side of the chute. So I kind of, like, as Kyle said, I probably thought I was slowing down, but I was trying to get to her too. But when we got through the finishing chute and it got quiet is when it all hit me. And I was just with, my wife and one other person, I kind of broke down. And just the weight of that accomplishment when you realize, anybody can read about Hawaii, you can watch it on NBC and you can appreciate that it's a hard race. And until you get there, you don't realize just how brutal that intensity from the morning to the humidity of the marathon, all of these things get thrown at you all day and you're tested in ways that you didn't think were possible. And and then you start thinking about the history and the Hoyts and teams that came behind them trying to finish it and they were unsuccessful in it. And that's hard. So it felt incredible as I stepped over that line. In fact, if you kind of watch that finish video,
a bunch of times.
Yeah. There's that pause for both of us and Kyle's already screaming. And then I turn at him and when I grab his face, that's when it's like, holy cow, man, we're here.
We did it.
You know, and I think why I loved red carpet, and even when we were in Wisconsin together, and we got to walk around, we got to run and wheel around the football stadium.
That's pretty cool.
Madison. You know, when you go on the field or when you go on the red carpet, it's soft, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it feels good.
Yeah.
And although I'm not doing the physical activity of each discipline, you know, it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot to, you know, go over speed bumps, go, you know, I get jostled and twisted in it, you know. So to feel that red carpet was a welcome sight and it was a dream come true.
Yeah. And what's that, you know, the power of family and being in the fire service and, you know, with my family who's helped me to be able to obtain goals, the power, you know, what did you feel between each other? Obviously each of you had, you know, these things that you wanted to accomplish and you're relying on each other to be able to accomplish it. What is that feeling that you have, that bond, you know, beside, over top of like being siblings, to be able to go, I trust you with whatever you're going to be able to do. How do you do that?
You know, it's funny. We get asked that a lot. And of course, I'm the number one encourager on the course. And whatever Brent needs, you know, I'm going to help. But I think that Brent and I have an unspoken language, almost, and then we were out there, and when I get quiet, that's either I'm in pain, or that I'm saying some prayers to help us get over that extra hurdle, and Brent knows that when I get quiet, you might need to dig a little deeper.
You've seen it with your kids and I'm seeing it, you know, through the, I mean, you just, it's that sibling bond that's is unbreakable. And it really gets heightened in a race. And that's honestly, for me, one of the most special things, that at an age when a lot of families are going in different directions, Kyle and I are going in the same direction. And it's this intense conversation that's happening. And sometimes it's ugly and brotherly. And I mean, our coach could hear us coming up to Queen K after the sun had gone down. And we couldn't see him. And he told me afterwards, he said, "I'm going to be haunted for ages about the things your brother was saying to you out there, you know." But like, but that's also part of it. Like, he knows there's certain times where he doesn't need to coddle me, and he doesn't need to just sit there quietly to let me realize what's going on and let me process my emotions. There's times where he's got to, you know, crack a whip and scream and yell and say things to get under my skin. But we've made it work. And, you know, we're pretty fortunate that he hasn't led me down the wrong path yet.
You know, it doesn't work without Brent. It doesn't work without me. So we're going in the opposite directions on a race course that's not good at all. So we all have to remain together as brothers, as family, and come together and make sure that we're always on the same page.
I love it. Now, I want to highlight another event, and this just speaks to the inspiration that you guys provide to others through your actions. And I think that's what's so important, is that, you know, a lot of people can talk the talk, but, you know, when you go out there and walk the walk, Boston Marathon finish line, probably one of the worst things that could happen is a wheel break, right? Go through that with me, because I saw that and I started bawling, because it's one of those things where it's like that. The inspiration that you brought that day transfers to a lot of different people that help you to get to the finish line.
Yeah, so that was New York in 2000.
New York, oh, yeah. Okay. See,
now, Boston, we were supposed to have just completed.
I should get more sleep and, and read better.
No, I'm just like you, man. I can hear a toddler screaming in the other room, so I know it awaits. But you know, that rate. I mean, again, like all these things that happened to us, you know. I'm glad that Kona happened when it did, because we learned so many things. And that we went to New York real quickly. New York added a lottery for teams like us, for, they call them duo teams, in 2015. And Kyle and I were part of the first group of athletes. So there's five teams from around the world, truly a global contingent. And we
Brent,
were just,
I got to ask you first, who's Batman, who's Robin?
I think we'd both like to argue we're Batman, but Kyle's definitely Batman.
All right. All right. You can keep going. I had to throw it in there.
You know, we just went up there to kind of celebrate and hang out and just experience the New York Marathon, which is incredible. And at mile 8, we had a wheel issue. And by mile 13, we stopped and realized we had 3 broken spokes. And not shortly thereafter, the whole chair crumbled under the mangled wheel. We tried everything, and we even got in the back of a police van, and they drove me to a bike shop, and we tried to get the thing fixed. And, you know, it was like, I mean, it was amazing that all this stuff happened. And we just, you know, nobody wants to get a DNF as an endurance athlete. And both of us felt like we have to at least try. We have to be able to go home with our heads up to say, hey, you know what? It wasn't our day. It happened. But I mean, look at Kyle. Like, nobody ever told him, my parents, when he was born, that he was going to finish Ironman Hawaii, or that he was going to hold a job and graduate. And like, he continues to do those things. And it's easy sometimes to overlook that, but it's there are people out there that are doing really courageous things, and nobody would blame Kyle for sitting in his wheelchair and not going anywhere. And so I looked at him, and he looked at me, and we grabbed some rope and some blankets, and the medical professionals helped us tie the chair to my shoulder, and we tried to walk. And you, I mean, you get it. Like, yep. that New York Marathon tracker is amazing. So you can see the bib moving, and we went from moving at, you know, inches at a time to centimeters at a time on this tracker app. We had a couple strangers that stopped to help us. I mean, I'd love to say like, oh, I carried Kyle with this mangled chair for 13 miles. I didn't. We needed help. But we also, we showed, you know, that we're as human as anybody. And by mile 23, we weren't talking to each other. And not in the way that Kyle just described in Hawaii. It was in the, you know, screw you, you're a jerk kind of way. And so at 22 minutes a mile, for more than an hour, we didn't speak to each other. And we finished the race, and we had this fanny pack with our phones so we could find people in Central Park. And I pull it out, and I have hundreds of text messages and phone calls. I mean, unlike anything we've ever seen. And I call my wife, and I start crying, and I can't stop crying. And we call a friend of ours, Betty, who we train with, who actually is going through chemo right now and stem cell therapy. And she says to us, she says to me, you know, you guys just gave us the greatest gift you could ever give us by never giving up. And I'm trying to explain this to Kyle. And I mean, you know,
yeah,
tears, full on sobbing. And he looks at me and he says, well, you're a wuss. And because he knew that I mentally checked out of that race, and it's who could blame me? I mean, the rope snapped. I needed help to carry him. I didn't feel like it was us. And he knew the whole time it was us. And I mean, at one point, even I remember telling him, let's stop, let's quit. And he looked at me and said, you can quit, but I'm going to finish. And I knew what he meant, you know? And so we got in the cab with this mangled wheelchair, and we're screaming at each other. This poor cabbie is like, who are these guys? Like, he's yelling at his brother with a broken wheelchair. I mean, we're screaming at each other, you know, and we get back to the hotel and we stop. I mean, it was just, but like it took us a long time. I mean, really, it took us a long time to truly tell that story because we were almost embarrassed. And then you start sharing it, and people are like, yeah, I mean, how many of us have, you know, quit? How many times have you quit in the middle of a race in Hawaii? And when it got that dark, right? When you're loaded down with gear.
Trust me. Things,
yeah. I mean, we've all done it. I mean, how many times have we done it in this current situation? And so it even in these times, I'm glad that we have the courage to share it now, because it's not one of the prettiest things that we've ever done from an athletic standpoint, but as humans, it's one of the greatest accomplishments we've shared together, because even in the worst of it, even when we couldn't stand each other, we refused to give up. And that finish line, which took almost 7.5 hours. What was your marathon time in Hawaii with all the
gear? Don't talk to me.
No, you know what I mean, right? Like,
7.5 hours is a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long time to be on your feet.
And it beats you up mentally. And I think, you know, that I love that, the honesty, because that's when people tell stories, usually they tell stories to say the good parts so that people are inspired. But people have to understand that the greatest stories that come about in this world aren't easy and aren't clean and aren't beautiful at all moments. I mean, that is the beauty of everything that you guys have done, is that, you know, obviously you depend on each other, but at the same time, Kyle calling you out saying, well, that's fine, leave the wheelchair here, I'm going to figure out a way to get to the finish line.
Yeah.
If you want to stop.
You know, the one of the interesting things about me as Brett was talking about that race was, I really didn't get a chance to digest what happened, because we got whisked away straight to a cab. We got in a cab. So I really didn't, you know, get to take my breath. Yeah, by no means am I making an excuse for my behavior, because I had to, like, you know, want that day too. you know, and I didn't have my phone, so I couldn't see anything. So I didn't understand the implications of what we did that day. And I was just still stuck in race mode. Like, here I am busting it all of a sudden, and this guy behind me, it kicking out, and I'm like, no, like, that's not who we are, and that's not what we stand for. So it took me, like Brett said, it took me a while to process it. And I wasn't comfortable talking about it, not because I was embarrassed, just because it wasn't me, it wasn't Brett, but yet those situations are kind of like a toolbox. Each race from Wisconsin to the local 5K to New York head field test for Kona. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, I use it now as a way to motivate people and say, look, this happened to us. You know, everything is not roses, right? Yeah. Even though this pandemic, you know, I've had feelings of being hopeless, and having feelings of, you know, anxiety and, you know, and that's not me, you know, but at the end of the day, I'm a human and I have to realize that, that it's okay to have those feelings. But I'm so glad that New York kind of prepared me for Kona, and it's going to prepare me to look at life a lot differently now.
Yeah. Nothing is perfect. And I think that's, you know, the best way to put it is, like, especially when you're going for something that is viewed as impossible or is viewed as something that nobody else will ever do again or wants to, that there are going to be challenges and strifes along the way. But you guys do this for such a bigger cause, and I love that. You do it for each other, but you also have the Kyle Pease Foundation, and that is a foundation that helps other individuals to find their way, right? Tell me a little more about that.
Yes, yeah, so in 2011, we did our first triathlon in St. Anthony's, the St. Anthony's Triathlon, and really almost immediately after finishing, it was such an incredible experience for Kyle. It was like that first, like, fully immersive, fully inclusive, I'm an athlete experience for him. And he said that other people have to experience this. And we didn't realize how big, you know, the Hoyt Foundation was, that My Team Triumph was this national footprint. We just knew our tiny little bubble. And so we started it, and we started meeting people and getting at more and more athletes involved. And, you know, our aim is to improve their lives through sports. We grew up in a sports house watching baseball and basketball and football, and now we still live in a sports house. So it's experiencing that. And, you know, at the core of what we do is inclusion. And so we want to include people with disabilities in whatever it is they want to do athletically in the most inclusive way possible. So We've got another crazy like Kyle that's done an Ironman. He was in Wisconsin last year. We have two teams that are supposed to be in the New York City Marathon this year, two teams in Boston. But we do a huge event. We're going to get you down for one in the spring. But we had 62 wheelchairs this year. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. And they give us this head start. And
what event was that at?
It's the Atlanta. This year was part of the marathon trials weekend. So, but it's the Atlanta Public's half marathon and marathon.
Okay.
I'm telling you guys, it would be our honor to have you in. Our athletes, their families, they will
love it.
They will love you.
Yeah, but you got to wear all your gear. You can't.
Oh, I will. I will. They just have to be. I've had times when I've pushed, they've went, can you go faster? And then I usually go, nope.
But, you know, but Kyle kind of realized that, you know, being able to go over that carpet and not feel like you're in a wheelchair, to feel like you're floating and you don't feel the footrests and the straps and all that. And we're really proud. In fact, with the money we raised to do the Ironman in Hawaii, we're able to hire two people with disabilities for the foundation. So we have two young adults in wheelchairs that are now working full time for the Kyle Pease Foundation.
That's amazing. And that's the difference of creating something that's bigger than yourself. And I think that's, you two gentlemen are just beacons of hope and what is possible in this world. So I greatly appreciate you both coming on today. We'll definitely have you guys on again. And, you know, anybody who watched last weekend, I think there's going to be another event that we'll have these two gentlemen racing in, and you'll be able to find a lot more about them. But thank you, gentlemen, again for everything that you do, because without your inspiration, I think a lot of people wouldn't even toe the line. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. If you want to find out more about Brent and Kyle Pease, where can they go to?
KylePeaseFoundation.org, and that's got links to social and all the fun stuff.
Awesome. And our socials are way more cooler than me if we are.
It's comic relief over here.
Yeah. Here we are. Who knew?
I love it. I love it. All right. Well, thank you everybody for joining us today. You can go to iwishitwasracing.com or t0endurance.com to find out who's coming on next. Also, you can find out more, watch this over again if you need inspiration while you're on the bike. I would suggest it. So thank you again, gentlemen, for coming on, and we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Bye.
Wow, what amazing individuals, resilience, their stories. You can't get better than that. I hope you enjoyed this version of Forged in the Fires podcast with Fireman Rob, with the interview from the Pease Brothers on In the Zone. Till next time, remember, your strength is in your passion. Now go out there and live it. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening and supporting the Forged in the Fires podcast with Fireman Rob. Remember, don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast, and please share this episode with a friend or family. To find out more about Fireman Rob or reach out about a question, go to www.firemanrob.com. Until next time, live your life forged in the fires.